Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. We greet you today in the Lord's name on this blessed Sunday morning that He has allowed us to assemble yet again in this house. We are so appreciative to God for all of His mighty works and for His mighty hand. Grace and peace be unto you all on this day. to all of our ministers in the pulpit in the pew, and to all of our officers and members of this body, and to all of you, my Father's children, we bid you all good morning in Christ Jesus' name. We are so grateful to God for what he is doing, has done, and is yet to do. And we are testimonies today of the goodness of God. We have a reason to celebrate yet again, Zion. God has been good to us and added to the family of God. Sister Tamaria was baptized on this morning. We have so much to be grateful for. Amen. Amen. God bless you all today. Amen. Pray that your experience here will be a life-changing experience, that this not be just your ordinary worship experience, but that God will meet you where you are today and will bless you in a mighty way. Glory to God. There is a word from the Lord today, the gospel according to St. John, chapter number 5. The gospel according to St. John, chapter number 5. There is a word from the Lord, and that's always good news. Your challenge today is not worry about the container, but you get the contents. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. St. John, chapter number 5. We ask that those who would stand with us for the reading of God's holy word. Amen. The gospel according to St. John, chapter number 5. We commence reading at verse number 1. Are we there? Amen. Let's see what the Lord had to say to us on this day. And we find these words recorded. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, that means they can't move, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, in that shape, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. We'll stop right there. You may be seated in the presence of God. May God bless those who read and apply his holy word. For a few moments today, brothers and sisters, I want to share with you from this thought, when you really want better. I want to talk to you today about when you really want better. Harriet Tubman, great African-American slave herself, and then one who helped free slaves, slave liberator, once said that she was able to free hundreds, even thousands of slaves. And then she goes further to say that if I could have saved and freed 1,000 more, if they'd have known they were slaves. For the ones that I wanted to free were so comfortable in slavery, they thought slavery was their way of life. And they refused to be free because they thought they were free, even though they were in slavery. Gotten so used to being in slavery that they were not willing to do anything different to bring about a newness in their life. Well, child of God, God comes today to give you a reminding word that many times we are holding up our own blessings. That many times you and I are blocking our own blessings because we're not willing to do some things that's going to be necessary for us to be out. Some of us are going through and don't have to go through. Some of us are feeling some stuff that we don't have to feel. Some of us are experiencing some things that we do not have to experience. But the problem is, for many of us, is that we're not willing to do what's necessary to have better in our lives. God does come to give you better. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and for you to have it more abundantly. But if you're not willing to do what the Lord says, if you're not willing to make some changes, you're not willing to make some adjustments, then you're going to be in the same situation this time next year. And God has a word for us today to tell us that if you don't get any better, it's not going to be my fault, God said. God says, I'm giving you every opportunity. I'm giving you every avenue to have a better way of living. I'm calling you out. I'm calling you up. I'm calling you away. But if you're not willing to answer, if you're not willing to heed my voice, if you're not willing to do anything different, then you're going to be stuck in the same situation. Such is the same as in John chapter number 5. John is such a beautiful passage of scripture, brothers and sisters. We see that Jesus shows himself so gracious in this book. As a matter of fact, up until this particular chapter in the Bible, brothers and sisters, we see Jesus at work. In chapter number 2, he turns water to wine in the wedding at Cana. In chapter 3, he talks to a Pharisee named Nicodemus and talks to him about salvation. In chapter 4, he deals with a woman at the well, a Samaritan woman, and he changes her life, and she goes from being a prostitute to a preacher. In chapter number 4, he heals a nobleman's son just because the nobleman had faith in Jesus that he would save him. And now we come to chapter 5. Number 5 is the number of grace. Oh, my God, you missed your shot right there. The number 5 is the number of grace. And here we find Jesus in chapter 5 ready to be gracious to folk who we ought not be gracious to. These are the blind people. These are the paralyzed people. These are the impotent people. It really, if you look at this setting here at Bethesda, but you only understand something about Bethesda, that just because it looks like it don't mean that's what it is. Because the word Bethesda means house of mercy, and it means house of grace. So even though it looks bad, even though you got sick people, you got to understand it's not over yet. It's still to be continued. There's still a part 2 to your situation. At this setting of Bethesda is a pool. And around this pool is, guess how many colonnades? 5 colonnades or 5 porches or coverings for the people who are stuck in a bad situation. So even though you're going through, God still has a covering for you, even though you're in a tough situation. Grace is all abound. And somebody ought to thank God this morning that grace is abound. Grace is at work in my life. Favor is at work in my life. Even though I'm sick, I have not died. Even though I'm laid off, I'm still not hungry. God is still moving. The grace of God is still active in your life. Y'all gonna make me work too hard today? He says grace is all around, but it doesn't look like a gracious environment. At this pool of Bethesda, this 350 foot long, 200 foot wide, 25 feet deep pool of Bethesda is supposed to be, according to Greek custom, supposed to be a healing pool. That the people who are the sickest, people who are the worst off, are supposed to get in the pool when the pool is troubled. Some of your Bibles may not have verses 3 and 4. It's reason because they don't add it into some versions, but in the King James, verses 3 and 4 discusses what an angel, it says. An angel of the Lord, some believe is even Raphael. Some said an angel of the Lord comes in to a certain season, whenever God get ready, whenever God say so, that a certain angel come and troubles the water. Some stuff y'all running from ain't God mad at you, it's God troubling your water. It ain't that God trying to mess you over, it's God troubling your water. God sending trouble into your life to trouble the water. God will let you go through some stuff to trouble the water, so you'll see it's not about what you're going through, it's about who can bring you out. He says, so many believe, according to the Greek custom, that anybody who you have to be there first, though. You see, God has an intent for the pool, but man always got to put theyself in it. God has an intent, but then men put another way into it. So instead of saying that everybody can be saved in the pool, that the tradition was that whoever got there first. Made to believe that you got a race to get your healing. Y'all, to me, John 5 looked like the church to me. It looks like the church to me because you got a lot of sick folk who think they got to have a suit to get better. A lot of folk in bad shape think you got to be a deacon to be delivered. A lot of y'all looking at me right now think you got to have your life together before God can put your life together.
and you're letting people tell you that you ain't good enough. Letting people tell you that you can't do that. Letting people tell you that you can't wear that. Letting people tell you you shouldn't say that. And God said, I'm troubling water, and y'all in a contest. It reminds me of the church, y'all. Chapter 5 reminds me of the church. I'm going to shout by myself. Maybe I'm just preaching to me. He said in chapter 5, it looks just like the church. Because adjacent or near the pool is something called the sheep gate. And at the sheep gate is nothing but animals. This is the time of a feast and sacrifices take place at the sheep gate. At the sheep gate, you bring your sheep, you bring your lambs for sacrifice, so it'll be willing and acceptable in the eyes of God. It was believed. So you got sacrifice and you got sick folk. Sacrifice, but you got sick folk. Y'all sick, so you won't sacrifice. And those of y'all don't sacrifice because you sick. God says, give me more. I'm too sick to give you more. God says, give me praise. I don't feel like giving you praise. And then the ones God has healed don't sacrifice no more because they don't feel like they need to keep sacrificing. It's just like the church to me. It sounds just like the church where everybody laying around messed up, doing nothing. And there's a sacrifice that's supposed to be taking place. It's a stinky place. It's a nasty place. The water ain't pretty water because you got a lot of messed up people around the water. And the problem is people think the pool gonna save them. Oh, but when grace shows up, it reminds me of Calvary. That even though we've been in the pool of sin, in the pool of unrighteousness, the sacrifice was given at the sheep gate on Calvary Cross. Sounds like my Savior Jesus, who was at the sheep gate, that God himself made a sacrifice, and grace don't come till there's a sacrifice. And many of y'all can't get your blessing because you ain't gave up nothing yet. And until you give up some stuff, grace can't come into your life. Until you lead them low down people alone, you can't go up high. Until you give God your best, you're going to keep getting the devil's worst. You got to be willing to sacrifice so that grace may abound. I ain't left the Bible. And God say, all these people around here staying sick and messed up and they trying to blame me. But may I suggest to you that where Jesus shows up is not a place where Jesus should have showed up. Oh, Lord. That's the beauty of grace. When he gives you what you do not deserve. May I suggest to someone this morning that the air you breathing, as low down as you and I have been, and the Lord let us get up with our stuck up pompous selves, put on some clothes, and halfway coming to his house of worship, we ought to be grateful for the Lord's unmitigated, powerful grace. Lord, have mercy. They show up. Grace shows up. And y'all, I can testify that even when I've been at the lowest of my low, grace still showed up for me. When I didn't even want grace in my life, grace still showed up. He kept on giving me his word. He kept on taking care of me, even though I didn't want to hear nothing from him. I didn't want to fool with the Lord. Didn't want to hear nothing by church. Grace still showed up and gave me a chance to pick myself up, dust myself off, and walk again. Somebody say, thank God for your grace. Well, but the Lord says from this text, you'll be able to find out and see some information as to determining whether or not you really want better. The Lord says that when I get through with you today, if your life ain't going toward a better road, it's not my fault. Light bulb, I need you to shine. Because I won't get an amen. The first thing you got to do when you really want better, Lord have mercy, help me. You've got to desire a change in your situation. This man has been laid out, not just sitting. You better watch the Bible. He ain't just sitting, he laid out. If it was a contest, seemed to me like I'd be trying to be ready when my turn comes. But you can tell folk who really ain't serious by their posture at worship. And I can tell some of y'all really ain't serious about having a new life because you're just laying around. You're just sitting there. You won't lift holy hands. You won't tell God thank you. You won't even smile. It's because you ain't serious. Because if you were serious, I would come with a sense of expectation. I would not be playing around with God. If I need my healing, I'm going to cry out to him. If I need a breakthrough, I'm going to cry out to him. Here's what some of y'all messed up at. Here's what some of y'all, I want to free you today, but y'all don't want to be free. But I'm going to give you a freeing word. Listen to me. The Bible says that there's a multitude of people who are impotent, have no power, cannot move, can't bless nobody, can't get no better. Y'all hung up on each other and everybody in the same shape as everybody else. But all I need is I'll be number two. All I need is one more person who's tired of stuff as it is. I'm tired of my life being what it's been. I'm tired of being in this rut. I'm tired of being stuck in the mud. I want something fresh. And if it takes me crying Jesus, if it takes me crying hallelujah, if it takes me lifting my hand, that's just what I'm gonna do. Because I want better. Listen, you keep doing the same thing, you're going to get the same results. What's the point in God blessing you and you won't bless God? What's the point in God giving you more time and you won't give your time to God? Bless you. You got to desire a change. And the trick to it is, you can't look to other people to want change. You got to find it within yourself. Because when Jesus shows up, he only go pick the ones who go listen to him. Jesus does not come to all the multitude because some of the multitude was happy laid out. But only folk who want some change, the Lord goes waste time talking to. And so some of us are going to be really messed up soon when you see folk who used to be miserable start having a ministry. Because y'all used to complain together. Y'all used to bash people together, but now they don't want to bash, they want to bless, and now they don't even want to hang with you no more. That's why they don't call you no more, because you want better. That's why they don't invite you to some parties no more, because you want better. And I know right now it's hurting your feelings, but let God heal you, because it's really to make you better. You can't get healthy hanging around sick folk because it gets contagious. Some people get sick off secondhand smoke. It ain't that you smoking a cigarette, you hang with people who do and you inhaling the same stuff they inhaling. And some of y'all, it's not that you're doing nothing wrong, you're in the wrong atmosphere and you just as sick as they are. Tell somebody next to you, watch your company. You've got to desire a change in your situation. This man has been laid out, sick, and can't get well for 38 years. And it sounds a whole lot like the children of Israel. Stuck out there in the wilderness for 38 years, and it was not Pharaoh's fault they were sick. It was their fault they were stuck and could not have power because they would not hear God. Could it be that some of the stuff you're going through ain't because it's just life? Some stuff you're going through because you won't hear from God. You're hard-headed, will not give him time, will not turn to him, won't pay your tithe, won't give an offering above your tithe, won't fellowship. You cause more division than you do unity. That's why some of you all are going through what you're going through, because you don't do what God say do. God never put his greatest, he put his greatest soldiers through his greatest battles. You ain't no soldier. Because a soldier, a true God soldier, got the sword of the Spirit. Y'all mad now, ain't you? You've got to desire a change. And no one in hurting thing about being a pastor is that I can't make you want no better. I can't make you want better. You got to just say, you got to look at yourself. You got to look at your situation. You got to look around you and say, this is messed up. And that's why I'm challenging about 10 of you to go home and just look at yourself. Look at your life. Take inventory of what's going on in your life and say, you know what? I can do better than this. That's where it starts. You don't start with other folk. You don't need certain people to leave when you can excuse yourself. I preach by myself. You waiting on somebody to leave because you don't want, oh Lord. You waiting on a job to turn around. No, God says you can turn some stuff around if you start doing what I say do. Listen, this man is laid out. When Jesus shows up, he's laid out. What would happen, y'all, if he would just sit up? Even if he ain't strong enough yet to stand up, least he can do is sit up. Because it shows the Lord that you're serious about a change in my situation. Lord, I'm helping you. I'm trying to help you. You got to stop not praising because you don't want nobody laughing at you here. You better get your mind and eyes off people around here and keep your eyes on Jesus. Because here's the thing. You know how to clown when you need to. You know how to show your emotion when you need to. You know how to get your point across when you need to. I don't understand why you so cute and reserved in church. And I done seen some of y'all clown at school board meetings. Done seen you clown in a principal's office. Don't tell me you can't lift your hands to God and you done lifted your fist toward a teacher. Don't you tell me what you can't do in church. It's because you're letting sick folk tell you how to get well. They sick as you are, and you listening to them tell you how to get better. You letting a lady who can't keep a man herself tell you about your husband. You letting a man whose wife done changed the locks on him 2 weeks ago and he don't know yet tell you something about how to protect your house. Letting sick people tell you so that when you come to the hospital you won't even tell the doctor what's wrong. So now let's be honest with yourself, some of y'all got trust issues. You done let sick people mess you up that you don't even know how to get well. to the point where you don't even desire any better because you feel like sick people is just how it's supposed to be. But I come against that assignment now in the name of Jesus and say, we can be better. We can be happy. I can have joy. I can have peace. I can have happiness. I am healed. I am set free. I do have financial breakthrough. I'm not stuck just because I'm here. In the name of Jesus, my position will not be my condition. In the name of Jesus, my family is getting better. In the name of Jesus, my child getting saved. In the name of Jesus, the bank is opening up now. In the name of Jesus, healing is taking place. In the name of Jesus, I want better. Y'all don't want it bad enough. Some of y'all ain't set up yet. You don't really want it. I'm going to give you 20 seconds to show the Lord, not me, not y'all. I want you to show the Lord that you're serious about a change and just sit up. Pay attention. Hold on. You may be seated. A couple of you getting there. But if I got to tell you and prompt you, you ain't got it yet. And I can't let you get caught up in emotion. And you ain't made no motion. So sit down, because you didn't mean it. Here's why. Because you don't understand some stuff. Verse number 6 says, when Jesus saw him lie. Oh, I could go somewhere with that lying. Because he could be lying down on a mat, or he could be lying with his mouth. Because for many of us, it's not as bad as you making it. Ain't nobody after you. Ain't nobody bothering you. You just sorry. And I need to be honest with myself. I'm sorry. Be honest. I'm just sorry as I can be. Lord, help me have a work ethic. Stop sitting making excuses about the man. God did not make a mistake and say, oops, when he made you black. Or white. Or purple, whatever color you are. He didn't make a mistake when he made you. If he created you, he created you for a purpose. And there's a plan with that purpose. And you and I, our demographic, our ethnicity, make more excuses. Jesus keep on showing up at our pool, and we still won't get about the mat. Here's why. Because we got the same mentality as this man. Jesus asked him a question. Do you want to be any better? Do you want to stop being sick? Jesus ain't asking him what's wrong, because he already knew what's wrong, because he's Jesus. Woo. That's why you got to stop praying the same prayer. He know. Tell him about it. Go on about your business. But the reason why many of you had the same prayer, because you ain't done nothing different. Have a different life, your prayer life can be different. But you stuck on the same prayer because you won't do nothing different after you pray. I'm in trouble. See, you got to ask the Lord for a job, but now you got to fill out applications. Because faith without works is dead. Ain't that good? I don't just sit there and think a job finna come slap me. So here I am 6 months later, Lord, hit me with a job. The Lord will show you ads. You pass by McDonald's every day. But you don't want to work at fast food, but you need slow money. Somebody help the preacher if you can. How can someone with nothing be arrogant about something? I ain't finna go work, you know, but you don't have nothing. Fortune 500 is not for just come and say you want to be boss. I'm going to move on. But in verse number 6, let me go and do point 2, then I have to go to verse number 6. You got desire to change your situation. Number 2, you got to determine that Christ is the solution. When you want better. It is not Donald Trump. It is not Barack Obama. It's not our mayor or our council. That's not the solution. It's not kissing up the people that got money. Because now you have no kiss left for Jesus. Because you done kissed up the people you think got some clout. And sold your soul. Christ is the only solution. Christ, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the only solution. Tell him I said it. I talk to him before I go talk to any president, mayor, governor. Before I talk to them, I'm talking to Jesus. Right. That's simple. We don't talk to Jesus. We talk to everybody else but Jesus. You tell Facebook, don't tell Jesus. Tell Twitter, don't tell Jesus. You want people to follow you on Twitter, but you won't follow Jesus. You're making it hard because you won't talk to Jesus. Why won't you talk to him? Because you're in the same shape as this man. Because at the end of the day, y'all, not until verse 14, he don't even know Jesus. Because you knew Jesus, you wouldn't say certain things when Jesus show up. Let me prove it to you. Jesus says to him, do you want to be better? If I know that's Jesus and Jesus come and show up, we don't even need to talk about nothing else. I know that the answer to my problem is here. And when you come to the house of God, you ought to have a sense of excitement because you know you're about to meet Jesus. And I'm going to find there the answer to all my problems. Why are you still perplexed, some of y'all? Because you don't know Jesus. You know the pastor, but you don't know Jesus. You think because you know the pastor that you automatically know Jesus. Because I know the deacon, I know Jesus. That's why you want people to pray for you, but you don't want to pray to Jesus. You don't pray, but you want us to pray for you. You want me to pray you stay safe so you can go out and gamble. If you hear Jesus, you won't go gamble. Oh, I'm in so much trouble. Because you make life so hard. You want to run dope, then want me to pray. But if you pray, he keep you from running dope. See, it don't work like that, does it? There's a certain way it ought to fit. You're trying to make this be what it's supposed to be. It's not made to be like that. Jesus is in between us and God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. You try to bypass Jesus. But it don't project because Jesus is my mic. He says, man, do you want to be better? That's how I know he don't know Jesus. Because he started getting, well, see, I be trying to get down there and get healed. I be trying to go down there and get, but won't nobody help me. That buck start getting passed. I be wanting to feel better. I be wanting, but won't nobody help me and get down there. Y'all mad now? Because it's somebody else's responsibility for your healing. Jesus shows up, but you still waiting on people to take you somewhere where he wants to give you power to go by yourself. Man, I'm in so much trouble this morning. Here's your shout, if you got one left in you. Here's your shout. He can't walk, can't touch, can't move, can't do nothing, but he can talk. That means that all is not lost. I still got something left. Use what I got till God can give me more. This ain't rocket science, y'all. Why y'all looking so slow? The man can't move, but he can talk. If I can give Jesus excuses, I can give him blessings. If I can tell him my story, I can give him glory. And stop wasting your breath, and you ain't gonna try to do no better. What happened to the shouting? Y'all don't want to shout with me no more? Nobody want to shout with me no more. Y'all some low-down Christians, man. Y'all set me up like y'all was going to shout with me, not there, and shut down on me. All cause you don't want to say nothing. See, you can talk, but you don't talk right. I'm gonna sneak this one in, and I'm going to be through. I'm going to sneak this little point in here. You talk to Jesus about them, but you won't talk up to them. If you had a problem with the way we was helping you, why you ain't telling me you had a problem with how I'm helping you? Why you wait till Jesus show up and make it look like nobody trying to help you? And then you mad when Jesus showed up and said it wasn't on them no way. It was always on you. Oh, boy, I love every bit of that one there, Lord. It was never, because see, the Lord don't want to just help you. He want to heal you. He don't want you to live with some symptoms. He wants to heal you and make you whole. Y'all missing God. He don't want you having to patch nothing together. He don't want you having to stitch stuff together, living on something broken and torn up. He wants to make you whole. And all you can give him after 38 years, all you can give him is an excuse still. You'll sit here and watch everybody else. The reason he talks to this man, because obviously this man been there longer than anybody else and ain't changed yet. And that's why some of you senior members are still living. It's because God done been that good to you and you ain't changed yet. You still sitting there crying wolf too. You still complaining too. I done healed you from every surgery can be cut. And you still causing trouble in my church. I covered some stuff you done, and you ain't got no better for me yet. You still playing church game, good as I've been to you. 38 years I done kept you from being seen. And you show up at church and blame everybody else for why you in the shape you in.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And it's not that you can't change, you won't. Don't tell me, don't you, how you gonna tell Jesus what you can't do? And I'm looking at some folk at these front rows and a few of them back ones who I know for a fact the Lord been good to a long time. And you shut down on God because you didn't get your way? You quit coming to church because you mad at somebody? He say, you just as sick as somebody just come to me. Old sick, new sick, ain't no different with sick. Because some stuff, for a lot of these people y'all looking down at, who just came to Christ but they're still dealing with life, they got acute sickness. You medical people know what I mean when I say acute. You can take a few meds and you can get some rest and drink some vitamin C, you'll get better. But I'm concerned about you chronic folks. What does it say about the church when people in it never get better themselves? What message do we give the world and we cutting each other's throats here? To somebody else though, but you the one that he called out. What do you do when you're the one he calls out? Someone in this room right now feels like God and me are talking to you. Ain't nobody else here, because you feel like he's calling you out, because you know your life could be so much better. You got the desire changing your situation. You got to determine that Christ is the solution. And then lastly, and so simply, you've got to decide to comply with what he says. There is no touch here. There is no feeling here. It's a compliance and obedience to what he says in his word. And when you really get serious about your life getting better, you will start obeying and complying with what he says. He does not, listen, y'all, he doesn't even respond to them excuses.
Uh-huh. That's right.
And you know what I'm learning? If God don't respond to excuses, why are we it? You want somebody to tell you it's all right to be like that? You're talking to the wrong preacher. Not going to tell you it's okay to be foolish, to be hard-headed and stubborn and won't love. And you got to have a lot of nerve to tell Jesus no. And keep wanting him to tell you yes. He says, rise up. He ain't telling him to sit up no more. Enough of you laying there doing nothing. I'm going to fix you because here's the thing, y'all. No one lives at this pool. You got to be brought there. Y'all missing it. So if people bring you to the pool but won't get you in saved, you can get where you need to go. You know how to catch a ride. Well, you need to catch a ride. And Tom and Jerry ain't off there yet. You want to get there bad enough, you can walk. This man kept ending up there every day for 38 years, waiting on his turn. 38 years of waiting on his turn because he thought he had to compete with somebody. And all he had to do was hear the word of God. But his condition, y'all, is that he's not saved. It's not about him being an impotent man. It's about him not being saved. And when you're not saved, you're not connected to the Savior. And when you're connected to the Savior, now you can be saved and healed. The things you're dealing with physically is because of your spiritual condition. Okay. Rise up. Get up. I can't. I've been using excuses. My word says, get up. Take up your bed. Take that stuff you've been laying on and put it over your shoulder. That shows that I can strengthen you to overcome what's been overcoming you. And I want you to take that mat, because that mat, that bed, is going to be your testimony. When you walk back home, you're going to see and be able to tell people, is that Leroy? Yeah, that's Leroy. I ain't know Leroy could walk. I couldn't walk. But look at what I used to lay on, now what I got on my shoulder. Take up your bed and walk. He does not say run. He says walk. Because life is a process. And you got to walk through this process. But it takes a lot of trusting in the word of God to rise up, take up a bed, and walk, and no one else is doing it. Y'all missed it. You can't look at them and see how to rise up. I can't look at somewhere else and say how I'm supposed to walk. When you trusting in Jesus, he's talking to you individually, you got your own walk. And my walk ain't got to be just like yours, as long as I'm walking in the word of God. And walking symbolizes some progress being made in your life. And every step I make toward my newness, I'm leaving the old me. I'm leaving the old stuff. I'm leaving the old misery. I'm leaving the old hangouts. Anybody want to walk with me? Better can come for you. Better comes. Better is here. But you got to want better. 14 chapters later, our Savior died on the cross. Laid his head in the locks of his shoulders. Gave up the ghost. Went to the grave. Defeated hell. Whooped hell because he just had time to. Early Sunday morning. My Savior, your Savior. Got up with all power in his hands. They tried to put a stone to hold back what was going to be coming out. But no stone in hell can hold back what God has delivered. No sickness in hell can stop what God has healed. No financial problem in hell can stop the liberty God has for you. Somebody ought to thank God for a better life that's available for me and you. God bless you. God keep you. May his face shine upon you. If you really want better, you ought to tell the Lord, I want better. Take a few moments and tell the Lord, I want better. Think about your own life. Think about your own story. Think about your own testimony. Lord, I want better. I want better in my home, better in my marriage, better in my body, better in my church, better in my city, better in my mind, better in my heart, better.
Better today. Give God praise for him making us better today. Do you hear God telling you to get up and walk now? Don't lay on your mat no more. But since God says for you to be better, that means you need to get up and be better today. Don't wait on nothing else. But the Lord himself has declared you better today. Give God praise one more time. After hearing such a word, someone's heart may be convicted right now. Someone's spirit may be called right now. And you hear God calling you right now.
We hope Pastor Ham's message blessed you. And if you'd like a copy of this CD, please send a donation and a self-addressed envelope to P.O. Box 893, Winfield, Louisiana, 71483. Or join us at our regular services at 405 West Jones Street, Winfield, Louisiana, Sundays 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Communion, first Sunday of each month, 6 o'clock midweek service, and senior missions and patrons meeting. 6 o'clock Thursday, Sunday school and teachers meeting. God bless you and keep you. May he lift up your countenance and give you peace until we meet again.
Hey, this is Toby Mack with news of another real-life Jesus freak. It's 301 AD, Armenia. 14 years in prison has left Gregory pale and gaunt, but more committed to Christ than ever. The king has grown bitter and mad because even though he has had many Christians tortured and killed, the gospel continues to spread. Despite all warnings, Gregory insists on a private audience with the king. After a scuffle and a long silence, the two men emerge from the king's chambers as friends. Armenia becomes the first country to legalize Christianity. The king's family is baptized, and the bold prisoner earns the name Gregory the Illuminator.
For more on the Voice of the Martyrs, go online to persecution.com.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, "Good evening, officer." A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, "I'm a catch," more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
In the darkness, where everything